Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Kuequitlam, the Musqueam, Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh.
You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Play Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree.com/cjsfradio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca.
Welcome, everybody. As you can tell, that was not my voice. Today, I'm being joined by DJ Rockstar.
Hell yeah.
And I'm DJ Coco, the usual host of Slumber Party every Tuesday, 6 to 7. But today, we are doing an extra special night of back-to-back episodes where we're going to have DJ Rockstar come on Slumber Party and we'll do a topic here. And then I'm joining as my actual name on Sociologic. So that'll be the next hour. But we are very excited to bring you some very, very cool topics, in my opinion. But that'll be for a bit later. So as usual, we are going to jump straight into the music because there has been a band that has released a lot of new music lately that I am dying to share. So these guys, this band is called Men I Trust, and the song that I wanted to play is called Tail Whip. This was already released before, but they did a live version. It's called, from the album, Forever Live Sessions Volume 2. So we're going to start off with that and then maybe do a little talking, but hope you enjoy the song.
This is Free Voices at CJSF 90.1 FM, talking to you about
Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. We are 10 board of directors and we are rejoicing for world history. Our show is based on true stories, musical and storytelling and role-playing, silent crimes broken, very interesting series of show.
And a lot of in-depth oral tradition. We play every Thursday from 3 to 4. Come and join us.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. You're tuning into Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco, and I'm joined by
DJ Rockstar.
DJ Rockstar. So the last song you just heard was from Men I Trust Again. So this is their song Another Stone from their album Equus Caballus. On my show, I can't pronounce things. So that was recently released from them. Great band. They're from Montreal, and I've listened to a lot of their stuff, and I've also seen them in person in Vancouver, and they were incredible. So recommend checking out that album and as well the live session album as well. So we are going to jump into our first topic for our double episode special today. So this one is going to be about an article that I shared between us. So it's regarding disparities in experiences and treatment for women versus men by Harvard. And it's particularly about kind of the medical system and gender disparities in pain and kind of going into the reasons maybe socially, biologically, why this is, and some biases that have been really ingrained into our medical system as a whole. So I was going to start off the topic just with some biological differences between males versus females. So I am a science kid. I am studying a science major, so I like this kind of stuff. So I'll just give a little rundown as to biologically why there can be differences in how, I guess, female versus males react to painkillers. And so for just to start, men versus women, male versus females, both have different reproductive organs, as we know, different hormone levels, brain structure, muscle mass, body fat distribution, even just the functioning of systems like our immune system are different for both males and females. And even though we're all human, we all have similar behavioral tendencies, it can be influenced by these biological factors and cultural factors as well. So as some more statistics on to why we're both even, but we are different. So women are 2 times more likely to experience clinical depression or PTSD, while on the other hand, men are 2 times more likely to become alcoholics or drug dependent, and 40% more likely to develop schizophrenia. And as well, on the other hand, women are more likely to experience or be diagnosed with chronic pain. So this is headaches, musculoskeletal pain, abdominal pain, arthritis. And this point particularly is critical in the conversation because of, yes, we have pain differences that are reported that make us different from men. What do you think? What do you think, DJ Rockstar?
This is interesting because I dropped science when I was like 16 and something like that. So I haven't really touched anything sciencey STEM related in terms of like looking at it biologically. My main focus, obviously, with sociologic is societal and looking at things in viewpoints and structures and intersectional perspectives and all of that. But with this, I find it so interesting because I remember reading statistics as well about like men being, I think it was something like 3 times more likely to develop like coronary heart disease and stuff like that. And it's just interesting when you look at how many statistics there are showing this kind of gender divide, in that it's so true. We're both human, but why is there such a divide in diseases, pain, development of chronic pain, things like that, alcoholism, drug dependencies? Why is there such a starking difference in like the gender side of things? It's like you see it as well. Like another thing that I find really interesting here is this says women are twice as likely to experience clinical depression or PTSD. Yet I'm pretty sure the statistic is that men are they're 75% more likely to commit suicide or something.
Yes.
So it's an interesting that women are more likely to suffer in that way. You would assume that suicide rates would correlate with women more than men.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a term that I learned in health sciences early on that it's quoted, women get sicker, but men die quicker. Which is actually true.
Because also women, mortality rate, women on average live longer than men.
Exactly.
Yet we're living in pain longer.
Exactly.
Like, it's crazy to me because when you suggested this topic, and I think you specifically was like honing in on painkillers and like pain, and I'd never thought of the gender difference in pain, because I figured it's kind of potluck whether you get some illness, you get some disease, like how is there a gender divide, because it's just random.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't think that as well. I'd think like, oh, maybe everyone experiences pain differently, but there are still differences in between the two genders specifically. There has been research and studies that suggest that women do express higher levels of pain for painful sensations in controlled lab settings, for example. So they were exposed to cold, heat, pressure. And then another study as well reported that women in the sample needed on average a 30% higher dose of morphine versus men. So I feel like that's saying something that on as a whole, as our side of the gender can experience things in a more serious manner.
Our side of the pond, some might say. Our side of the pond, some might say. Definitely. And I think this has been a trend, and I think it's continued. It's just come kind of like fun experiment that a lot of people do. Is they get like a simulator of period cramps.
Oh, yeah.
And they put it on a woman and then they put it on a man. And then you look at the different reactions from it. Because the woman is usually sat there like straight faced, like normal. And the guy is like screaming out on like one of the lowest settings. And I think that's just so telling as well.
Yeah.
Into it, like this idea that women have to be so expressive if we're in pain, and we have to be so emotive and hysterical, and that proves that we're in pain, isn't true. Like, women have this, there's this idea around women that we're this very highly emotional, hysterical beings, and that men are not. When women can just as easily handle the pain, it doesn't mean that we're enjoying it or that we're not in pain.
Exactly.
But like, you think of how many people are functioning in their day-to-day lives as women, just in pain all the time from the menstrual cycle. Like, it's a very common one. Most people are just told to suck it up and continue going to school, continue going to work and things like that. That's why so many illnesses like endometriosis, PCOS, go misdiagnosed because everyone's just like, it's just a cramp. Like, it's part of the deal.
Yeah. Like, I think they have sick days and things, but there's nothing for menstrual days or like, oh, cramp day, here's your pay. No, it's just like, go to work, suck up, get through it.
Take some, for you, I guess it's Advil, but for us, it's like paracetamol. Take some paracetamol, take some ibuprofen, you'll be fine.
Yeah, just
and then
do.
It's like, several years later, I've got diagnosed with PCOS. And it's like, oh, so it wasn't fine.
Yeah, so it's things like that. It's very complex. And I didn't realize, with the biology, but also sociologic part of pain. But back to the biological part. So we know that there are differences in pain for men and women, but there's not really any concrete evidence into why. There are some theories out there. So they believe that, like, the sex hormones, including testosterone and estrogen, so basically everything in the endogenous opioid system.
Oh my God.
can influence pain. And it has found from this study, multicenter study, AAMC.org, from pain PDH epidemiologist Rue Lee, who did this study on adolescent boys, found that higher levels of testosterone reduces pain intensity. And this was compared between adolescent boys with differing testosterone amounts. This may be taken with a grain of salt because they only use boys in this study, but it is an interesting thing to note that this could be a theory on why men may feel less, or they may not express their pain because they don't feel as strongly as women in pain. So that's one theory. And the second one, this is saying that there are studies that say that there is microglia immune cells in the brain. And so for a lot of medication, they block microglia in the brain for men. But they found that women actually use immune cells called T cells for pain response. So these medications aren't working because, I mean, it's not working because the goal of the microglia to block the pain, when for women, that wasn't even the thing to block pain. So these are some theories behind these differences of pain. But it's still just theories, and we don't know the true answer.
Yeah, it's interesting because I see, like, above you put about a study that says ibuprofen reduces pain more in men than women. And I remember reading that, I think, in the paper that you shared. And that I was like, okay, this makes kind of sense now why I'd, like, take medication and it, like, for a headache or something. And it's like, oh, it didn't really, I don't feel like it did anything or something.
I never feel like Advil works for me personally, but.
Yeah. And it'd be interesting if it is to do with this microglia immune cells and that.
Yeah.
The pain medication is almost like a placebo effect for women.
Exactly.
That it's not actually doing anything. You're just told that it is.
Exactly. Sometimes the placebo effect is strong. So.
Yeah, the power of the placebo effect.
The power of the brain.
But also that testosterone test, it would be interesting if they did a comparative study with estrogen.
Exactly.
Like, that would be very interesting to see. Because it wouldn't surprise me if there is something involved with testosterone that is to do with pain.
Oh yeah, that's the one of the biggest differences in men and women is our levels of testosterone and estrogen.
Yeah, so that would be like very intriguing when and if they ever decide to, you know, actually research women in the medical system.
Oh yeah, actually there's as part of my, I'm currently on co-op right now working in research. And so recently I went to a research day. It's called the UBC APT Research Day. So this includes anesthesiology, pharmacology, and therapeutics. This was at BC Children's Hospital. And I found this one presenter very interesting. And her name was Dr. Louise McCullough. And she is a practicing vascular neurologist, and she does research in sex and gender disparities. So she did a talk about risk of stroke and gender. And I found she made a lot of jokes about how there's so much limited funding for female research on women, even today, even though it's getting better. But they really need to fund for these things, even though they don't feel like it's as a priority as compared to other studies. So quite interesting, in my opinion, but they do need to fund. They need to fund us to figure us out.
But it's like straight away you saying that they don't see it as a priority. It goes all the way back still to this idea that women are not seen as a priority.
No.
Like, if there's research in that area, whether it's on men or on women, if there's research, like, say there's plenty of research done in that area, but it's all on men, they'll be like, but there's plenty of research done in that area. We don't need more. Like, there's so much.
Yeah, it's like, why revisit? We've already done it.
And it's just like, I feel like people have this conception that because gender equality and things is spoken about a lot more than it used to be, that speaking about it means that it's improving. Mm-hmm. And to an extent, yes, speaking about it does improve it. It builds awareness, it builds education, it gets people talking about it. But that isn't just what is needed. Like, you need actual tangible change to actually be able to say it's improving. Yeah. And there's this whole misconception that, no, we're pretty much at gender equality. And I'm like, really? you think that?
Hold the phone.
Yeah, I was like, have you seen the gender pay gap? It's still pretty big.
So it is pretty shocking to see that women are not really included in research, and things like how Advil maybe doesn't work for women as well as men. And so this comes down to the big root issue, which is that DJ Rockstar believes that we do have a gender bias in our medical system that has been built from the very roots of
the patriarchy.
And so as someone who's working in health research, now it's great. I work in clinical research, and my office is filled with women who do research. And so it's amazing. But back in history, as we all know, it was a very male-dominated system, I'd say. And all research at the very beginning that built our medical system is primarily based on doing research on human men or male mice anytime before 1999, which is actually not too long ago.
See, I just find that crazy that they went to the trouble to get male mice.
Yeah.
Like, not just mice, male mice.
Yeah, they need that male mice.
Had
too.
To all be male.
Exactly. And so, actually, until 2016, so particularly over 80% of pain studies only looked at male mice and male humans.
That's a crazy statistic.
I know.
Until 2016?
Yeah. And I think there must be a couple reasons. So some of my hypothesis that I pulled up is that, well, number one, women did not go to university until, I believe, it was like 1872 to around 1881 is when women could start going to university in Canada. So the fact that women could not go into research, into very academic fields, means they were not included in studies. They were not actively researching or researching other women from the very beginning. But some of the other reasons are things like women say, one of the major reasons is the childbearing potential, and that researchers believed that if they tried to research on women, they could potentially harm their future baby. And so they just avoided them. That is one of the biggest reasons, I believe.
Kind of like messing around with infertility and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then there was other ones. There was, from The Guardian, there was an article that DJ Rockstar put in here for me to read. But some research said that, quote, menstrual cycle and varied release of hormones throughout the cycle in rodents introduced too many variables into a study. Therefore, females could not be studied. So, we are too complex to be studied.
Not even just us. Female rodents.
I know, even the rodents.
Female rodents are too complex.
They can't wrap their brains around rodents with periods. So
yeah. And like that article, there were so many quotes in it that I thought, this is actually crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, picking apart specifically, like, I know a big thing that's still that is currently like talked about in terms of, if we're looking at gender disparities in the medical system, is the fact the lack of diagnosis over endometriosis and PCOS, women's symptoms being dismissed as that it's not that bad, it's just a period cramp, when which, given endometriosis and PCOS, they are very hard to diagnose. Fully acknowledging they are very hard to diagnose, but it doesn't account for the fact of how many dismissals there are. And these quotes are just kind of proof of the doctor's views in dismissing these patients. It's not just that it's a hard disease to diagnose. It's also they just dismiss them because they're women. Like there's one quote from one male GP practitioner, so like general doctor, that said to a woman, I've never had, it's one gynecologist said, do mad people get endo or does endo make you mad? It's probably a bit of both.
Ooh.
Endo being endometriosis, but it's stuff like that. And then it's like below that, one male GP said to me, I've never had a fibromyalgia patient who wasn't, and then swear word, crazy.
Ooh.
And I was like, so you are, the doctors are very, like, the male doctors are very clearly linking hysterical emotional responses to illnesses and to, like, pain, I guess,